Hey, this is Dan Hansis alongside Chris Wessling.
Hey, Dan.
Mark Sessler and the boss, Greg Rosenthal. We're the Around the NFL podcast. Check us out three times a week as we discuss the latest NFL news as it happens. Always, of course, with a touch of mirth. Subscribe at NFL.com/podcasts, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Going to the hurry up offense.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Hall of Famer, fantasy guru, Michael Fabiano, Handsome Hank, our old pal, here in Studio 66. Fellas, we'll talk at length in a minute here, but it's time for the hurry up, as you just heard. Michael Fabiano, there are some big name free agents still available out there here in June. Reggie Bush, Arian Foster, great fantasy deeds in their pasts, and also in real terms, too. Who is the biggest name, the best name out there that needs to be signed, and by whom?
Arian Foster could end up blowing up somebody's value. If he goes to Handsome Hank's beloved Miami Dolphins, for example, and hurts the value of Jay Ajayi, there are some teams out there that still need running back help. The Colts, behind Frank Gore, right? I mean, they've got Josh Ferguson and Robert Turbin and not much else.
Imagine if it was 2012.
I know. The Redskins, you've got Matt Jones, and then you've got Keith Marshall. So Foster can come in and potentially make an impact, but I don't know that it would be a positive impact from a fantasy standpoint, because it looks like wherever he lands will sort of blossom a committee, and we hate committees in fantasy football.
Handsome Hank, before you respond to this question, let me tell everybody, remind everybody, if you're consuming an audio on iTunes, Stitcher, otherwise, we appreciate that. We appreciate the download, the subscription, so on and so forth. But if you want to watch it, the second show we do each week here in the summertime is also available for you, NFL.com/podcasts, as well as YouTube. So go check it out. And if you do, you will see many, you will see as well as hearing many items, including we have a list of all these big name free agents up there. Anquan Boldin's out there, Antonio Cromartie, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Oh, please.
If he goes anywhere except for the Jets, it's ridiculous.
Why are we, I mean, they, we,
Well, you know what I would do? If you, we also were talking about before the show, the idea of some teams have signed guys and now they wish they had a mulligan. They wish they could undo the contract.
Yep.
I bet you that the Broncos wish they could undo the same.
That was the first team I thought of.
And get Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, but they had the opportunity back then.
I don't think they thought the money was the same.
But we haven't seen anything about Sanchez yet that, I mean, maybe they have, but I don't.
Well, Trevor Siemian's is apparently neck and neck with him. That's all you need to hear about that.
Mark Sanchez, guys. That's the end of the
game. All right, Handsome, make your choice. Who do you want? And where?
I tell you who I don't. I want Greg Hardy never to play football again, and for every team in the NFL to continue to blackball him. That's my dream. I think Roddy White may be finished. Why don't we look at Anquan Boldin? Look, that 49ers receiver right now, it's
Torrey Smith.
You've got Blaine Gabbert and you're expecting him to get by with Torrey Smith and a collection of nobodies. I would say the 49ers need to bring Anquan Boldin back.
Yeah, I like that fit there. Reggie Bush for any team that needs, because what his used to, you know, even at his best, you know, it always felt a little square peg. He was never going to be a three-down back. Yep. But if you're looking for a guy to throw in there in third-down situations, he could be valuable there. The Patriots don't need him because they have Deion Lewis coming back. Right. That's where I would look. I would try and see if somebody needs that change of pace.
How
about Tennessee? I know they want to go smash.
They have Dexter McCluster. They have a litany of running backs there.
The Dolphins, who had Reggie Bush before, have said that Jay Ajayi didn't look particularly comfortable catching the ball during minicamp.
Sure.
And so, maybe that's an option for them to bring him back. And then Adam Gase, he is used in exactly the right situation. And Adam Gase has that receiving back as well that he likes.
Well, and Jamison Crowder of D.C. says that his team has the best receiving core in the NFL. And I saw Solomon Wilcots on Total Access say that the Pittsburgh Steelers did. I think that's overly optimistic to say that. After Antonio Brown, I don't know about
Without Martavis, Brian. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, of course.
That's which is the reality.
That's what we're talking about. Right. I think if you want a nice number two, a consistent guy, Anquan Boldin fits that bill. You have the game breaker in Antonio Brown. That's another good fit.
Sterling Shepard, from everything that you hear about him, it sounds like he might be really good.
Next up, Handsome Hank, I'm going to let you start because the Hall of Famer deserves no advantage here when we're talking fantasy football. And by the way, we will tell you some fantasy tips for the Game of Thrones finale coming up here. We have something with one of our very favorites. His name was just on the board there. AJ Hawk talking about a more important item than pro football. He's talking about chili and what defines quality.
I see
there.
On the rundown it's called a walk and talk with AJ Hawk. Why wouldn't you call it a walk and hawk?
Well, because I like that it rhymes now three times. Walk, talk, hawk.
Yeah, I hadn't noticed
that. I was charmed by that. Yeah. Also, we're going to play everybody's favorite game, Dead or Alive. Who knows? Maybe there will be a surprise game show in there for you. Meantime, though, Handsome Hank, let's start it off here. Let's do a little fantasy drafting. We're not doing five rounds. I just want to hear who you have as your picks here. That's what they wrote down. The producers behind the glass have written down a five-round fantasy draft. We'd be here all day.
I'd be down for it, but
I'd be down for it too. But this is neither the time nor the place. Fabiano. Handsome Hank, who is your number one quarterback?
My number one quarterback.
In fantasy, of course.
Don't say Ryan Tannehill.
It's definitely not Ryan Tannehill. Okay. I can tell you that much. I mean, it's hard to look past Aaron Rodgers with Jordy Nelson back healthy.
Okay, your number one running back.
I'll go with Todd Gurley.
And your number one receiver.
Antonio Brown.
We know Gronk is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's no brainer. My first round. My first round advice, and it feels ridiculous saying this with a Hall of Famer and a presence and a guy who, you know, has hosted fantasy or been a part of a fantasy show, so I'm almost ashamed and humbled to be saying this. But I always think, like, get the biggest difference between the best guy at the position and the next best guy. And if you're not picking first overall or, you know, let's say the top three picks, I think Gronk is a great pick in the first.
You're so right. No one does care about your fantasy. No, I kid. Fabiano, go. Best quarterback.
Best quarterback, Cam Newton. Aaron Rodgers is a close second. I do think that Cam regresses a little bit. I mean, he had 389 fantasy points. That's not going to happen.
And he ran around a lot. Kelvin Benjamin, though, people will be optimistic about greater passing numbers with a better.
I would project him to score probably 50 or 60 fewer points, but that's still pretty good.
Okay.
At running back, Le'Veon Bell. Now, we have to keep tabs on that knee, make sure that he's fine going into training camp or at least into the preseason, getting ready for the start of the regular season. If he's 100%, he's my guy, and Gurley would be number two. And at wide receiver, Antonio Brown, if I said anyone else, I'd look foolish. Clearly, the best wide receiver in fantasy football, and he's going to be the number one overall pick in a lot of drafts. You watch. The tides have turned from running backs to wide receivers, and people aren't going to be as quick to pick a running back because that's sort of what people have done in the past, because you've got so many good wide receivers at the top with Antonio Brown and OBJ and Julio Jones and Nuke Hopkins. So there's a little bit of a changing of the guard there in the first round.
Oh, it seems like this is an entire generational shift all of a sudden. Now you go wide receiver before running back in fantasy.
Well, my first two picks would be Bell and then Gurley, and then I'd go with Antonio Brown. And then you're looking at OBJ, Julio Jones, then maybe Peterson, and then Hopkins. And I would say Gronkowski is going to be in that mix as well, along with Ezekiel Elliott, who is one of my favorites already, and David Johnson.
Why do you say it in that voice?
Because I'm a Cowboys fan and I love fantasy football.
I'm a Dolphins fan. I don't.
Jerry, but you've already got the accent and everything. I've got a sort of
Jordan Cameron.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how you're going to say Ezekiel Elliott's name this season. He's going to be that good.
All right, I will. I'll go off script here or off chalk, and I will say that in fact Antonio Brown will not be number one. Odell Beckham is in store.
Wow, they're going to take away your Steelers fan card, pal.
Don't you think, though, that with Martavis Bryant not there, that gives Antonio Brown's going to get targeted even more?
Well, I mean, people use these arguments, whichever one suits them, it seems, that, like, well, now you have a legitimate number two there who will take away double coverage sometimes and take away some of that attention. And then on the other hand, sometimes you see that their only option is the guy who gets targeted repeatedly.
Right. But when you're at his level, when you're at the Antonio Brown or the Odell Beckham level, then you're going to get doubled any. I mean, like, it doesn't matter who the number two is.
No question, But I do think Antonio Brown, I mean, he is in the midst of this three-year run that we say that, that really stacks up with anybody, and I will invoke the name Jerry Rice, and Marvin Harrison had one of those windows too. But he's due to come down just a little bit already. It's crazy.
OBJ,
and Odell Beckham should only go up, and he's right there all the time anyway.
In his first two NFL seasons, this guy has scored the second most fantasy points at wide receiver, and number one was Randy Moss. And OBJ missed 5 games in his first 2 years. Remember the suspension and the injuries. So I really think that you're looking at a situation where he's going to be maybe a little bit closer to a second to Brown than a lot of people think. He's an exceptional player.
Yes.
Next up, I will go Zeke Elliott as my number one running back. I think he's going to dominate this year behind that offensive line. And lastly, I will go with as my quarterback Aaron Rodgers, because I tout him all the time and that's my responsibility, and I will do so again on Thursday night's Total Access. We'll also tweet it out for you. Follow along at Damashek if you wish. Emma VP with another gangbuster segment coming at you about Aaron Rodgers and how he might fare were he to face the arch-rival Chicago Bears. Circa 1985, the 46 defense. Who would win that matchup? We'll talk about that one, or you will see it on Total Access and beyond. Lastly, in the alleged hurry-up, which we've long since...
This hurry-up, this is like a two-minute offense that doesn't get anywhere near the end zone.
Yes, the start of the show, I thought, you know, a couple months ago, it'd be fun to get into hurry-up, because like then we hit some subjects real quick before we start...
Meandering.
You know, before, you know, sometimes Dave gets off the subject, and like it takes him a while to get back to the subject.
That never happens.
Well, it does. Once
delay a game.
I don't need delay a game, but this is more, maybe I'm going back to my Pittsburgh roots, and I'm going 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm sitting on the ball. I'm taking the air out of the ball like Jerome Bettis and just grinding you in the second half, frustrated.
I think of the DDFP like a river, like a beautiful river. It starts with rapids and white water and hurry up, and then it meanders into the sea, and you know, there's
a lovely
fish and poop everywhere.
Well, speaking of those two, those last two items you mentioned, that what you might cite them here. Fabiano, though, I start with you. Mm-hmm. In the Shecky spotlight today, the worst food to eat after brushing your teeth. This, of course, you hear this on December 31st when the Shecky Awards are handed out annually. But, you know, we're midway through the year, and we figured let's start checking in on where all these categories are. Fruit, by the way, side note, I had a delicious piece of watermelon the other day.
That's right where I was going, was any fruit.
It's more specific
any fruit
than that, actually.
You don't want it right after you brush
an orange.
An orange. That's the correct. It's the only answer. Orange juice. It tastes terrible afterwards. And then one of my favorite things to have at breakfast time is a piece of toast buttered with marmalade, orange marmalade on it. Does not work well.
But I'll tell you, it's not when you say that's the only answer. I disagree, of course, because there's something when there are certain kinds of foods that you know potentially are going to give you food poisoning already by themselves, like any fish.
Right.
Fish, you know that. And then when it gives you a sickening taste, it doubles the
I don't need
possibility.
Seafood, that so never
wait,
happens.
What are we saying?
Salmon.
But that's
how about salmon sushi? That would be that's the worst. Right? Imagine you brush your teeth, then have to eat a piece of raw salmon.
But also, I mean,
there really
not,
isn't anything.
How about an oyster?
After.
Ugh.
I mean, nothing tastes great after brushing your teeth.
No, I know, but there are degrees, Sam.
But how many
that's
times
why I'm here?
How many times are you eating salmon or oysters after you brush your teeth?
I'm very hygienic.
Start the
show! Yes, hi and hello, football fans. And once again, welcome to the DDFP, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all-day breakfast. Enjoy it. Put it in your belly. As a matter of fact, I'm super hungry. I wish I had one now. But I don't have time to stop and lament that fact. You know what? You know how much I like an Egg McMuffin, Handsome Hank? I like it so much, I would eat it right after I brush my teeth.
Would you?
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
You really would, huh?
Any greater compliment than that? I don't think so. All right, like I mentioned, we have stuff to get to here. We want to talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Starting a new feature, we may as well do this now. We could do this pretty much every show until the season starts, almost, which is let's go through every NFL team and try and evaluate with their schedule what their record's going to end up being in 2016.
That's
today's
fun.
Team... the Baltimore Ravens.
You mentioned that.
A lot of noise about Joe Flacco, the state of his health, the return of Terrell Suggs.
Steve
Elvis
Smith.
Elvis Dumerville. They say that they're going to be the number one sack duo.
I heard that. Oh. It's funny that their Achilles is, in fact, the Achilles. That's funny when that happens.
Yes.
Or at least in 2015, the Baltimore Ravens' Achilles heel was their Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Something to think about. Yeah. But anyway, we're going to talk to A.J. Hawk. And we'll see what else comes up here. In the meantime, want to follow up on something that we started early in the week. Dan Hanzus joined the program, and who else was in?
Patrick Claiborne.
And Claiborne.
I listened to it on an airplane yesterday, Dave. It was a tremendous listen.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And Claiborne, of course, has now been wearing a new hat. He is now the hot take ombudsman along with Chris Wessling of Around the NFL. What they like to do is all the hot takers out there in the world now, this is the sports world's ubiquitous with these guys, and now these guys – that's what role they've put on themselves, I've noticed, over the last several months or years, that they like to evaluate hot takes and diminish those. And so so in an ongoing way, we'll keep an eye on the work of Claiborne and Wesley.
Claiborne's always on that Twitter.
Oh, he always is on the Twitter. Follow him. But I asked them this important question off of Father's Day. Who's the best TV/movie/animated dad you've ever seen? And before I get into a couple of responses from the Czech Republic, Handsome Hank, where do you come down here?
Cliff Huxtable.
No, you can't go. No.
No, well, we had a little bit of a moral debate about that.
You can't do that.
Well, it's a moral conundrum.
I can separate him as a fictional father.
He was America's dad, and now what is he?
Well, he's American.
Heathcliff Huxtable is, for all we know, still living in that three flat in Brooklyn. How do you know?
Okay, if we're not up for that, I hit one of my Coach Eric Taylor, I believe to be.
Ah, hands his vote.
I mean, he's everything I want in a man, in a father. and I also like Philip Banks.
Who's Philip Banks?
Will Smith's,
Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil.
Uncle Phil. Nice.
Fabiano, he's a good dad. How say you?
Al Bundy. Come on, it's got to be Al Bundy. Oh. He's like the worst father in the world, but he was hilarious. Hilarious. I don't know, it was just so good.
Fabiano.
I love it.
Married with Children was hilarious.
I love that show. Hey, they had Anthrax on that show.
There are a lot of people with reputable comedy opinions that will say that Married with Children
you didn't
was
like
funny.
It?
No, I wasn't into that show.
I thought it was hilarious.
Herman Munster.
Herman
That's a good
Munster,
one.
I heard from a lot
what
of people.
What about Mr. Cunningham from Happy Days?
I brought him up.
Right. Jason Seaver from Growing Pains.
A lot of people hit me up about this subject and were upset that I didn't mention Herman Munster. I'm going to stick with Mr. Incredible. What do I want in a father? A father who can beat anybody up if they cross me. Hey, old man, that boy was mean to me. Like, I'll take care of him. I'm going to throw him to
superhero.
I'm going to throw him to New Jersey from here. Yeah. But let's take a look at some of the responses we got here. And Jay Eifold says, Dan Connor from Roseanne. Mm-hmm. Hanzus, I know, responded to this one because I was attached to it as well, that he wasn't in charge of his own house there. And he also had financial difficulties.
He didn't wear the pants.
Yeah,
he's been emasculated by Roseanne.
Yeah.
Didn't he have an affair at some point during that show?
Is that right? I don't know.
I do believe that happened.
Then Jason Zumwalt, the great comedy writer, weighs in with a very serious one, Walter White. You know, you can say that that's a bad call. You can say that's just a joke. But, you know, he left them pretty well off, right? Isn't that the role?
Everything he did was for his family.
I mean, the relationships kind of deteriorated over the few years.
True, but then again, we debate. I threw out, as a good one, Ned Stark, and then I realized from Game of Thrones, but then I realized, well, he's a bad father because he chose principle and he lost his head and instead of presence, and that's what you need. You need to be present for your children. Yep. That's what you need more than money or anything else. Oh, but I die with my integrity. And now he has those children running amok all over the Seven Kingdoms. Half of them are dead.
A few of them are doing all right.
Yeah, and the other half are dead.
Yeah.
Jaime Lannister.
That's what happens.
He is a good dad. Hey, and then I got a tweet while we're into tweets here. I'm not familiar with the band. I know the band Biohazard is like a hardcore band, but I'm not familiar with their music as far as I know. Evan Seinfeld, though, who has since starred in many porno movies and is heavily tatted up, he took time from his busy schedule to weigh in and tweet at NFL Total Access, which I appeared on earlier in the week. He said, my guilty pleasure is that I watch NFL Total Access every day for about 8 years. Which is grammatically incorrect because you can't watch. They're only 24 hours in a day. You don't to watch it for 8 years would defy the law.
Maybe he found it difficult to understand and had to keep going back to watch it.
I see. Oh, so he watches
every day.
And
like,
wait,
the same I don't really understand.
8 years.
Lindsay
long.
Rhodes is. It's very complex what she's going through. I'm going to watch it again.
Hmm. but for 8 years? Because you feel like then the opinions shared there would be pretty dated, because 8 years ago it was 2008.
Difficult to understand. That's more reason why they're difficult to understand.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe you're right about that. Yeah, like a lot of heavy debates about about whether or not Charles Haley should be in the Hall of Fame one day and stuff.
Will
like that.
Colin Kaepernick make it as a starter?
Yeah, stuff like that. But anyway, so he doesn't. So he says, please, no more Damashek. Stop fancying yourself. Then hashtag not funny, and then ugh. Mm. How say you, handsome man?
What about what?
I don't know. You go through it. Like,
I'll tell you what. I mean, I
think it's funny that he's a headbanging porn star who's tatted from head to toe, and yet he works in the decidedly British. Stop fancying yourself.
Yeah, that is strange. That definitely caught my eye. I guess everyone's allowed their own opinion. So if he wants you to stop fancying yourself, then maybe.
But where do I go when a tatted up old porn star has declared with a hashtag, which really makes it official then?
Yeah.
That I'm not funny, you know? And because I like to, sometimes I like to crack wise.
Right.
But now that that this guy who used to be in a band that was relevant in the 80s. And
I don't know how relevant.
I still think
I don't know how relevant they were, but
no. I don't know about that. But I mean, more so than they are now. But he's tatted from head to toe, and he has appeared in many pornos. I don't want to lose the tatted porno demo.
Right.
On one hand, but then on the I know Roger doesn't either. But then on the other hand, he does make a point that I'm not funny with a hashtag. So I don't know. I don't know which way to go from here.
Did you consider responding and saying, I'm shocked to hear from you. I thought you died of an overdose 10 years ago.
No, I didn't.
Wow.
I didn't do
that's
that.
Harsh.
Have we heard back from Evan? Because then I tweeted to him.
Oh, you did tweet to him.
Well, I tweeted back to him because I did have the occasion to meet him once or twice about a decade ago.
But don't tell me you were on the set of some porno.
No.
Okay.
This was 2006 when I was on the Adam Carolla radio show, and he came in with his ex-wife, who was also or may not still be a porno star, I'm not sure. But they came in, and he was very serious about himself and the important work he was doing 10 years ago, and which was, in turn, 20 years after his band was relevant. But he was still very serious and vital in his own mind, at least with all of his tats and stuff, because he was in the midst of doing porno work, you know. And
hey,
so I tweeted back to him because I know that's what's important to him. I tweeted back to him, hey, looking good, Evan, you know. And then he tweeted back to that. What did he read that?
So he got back and he said he's clearly confused. He said, I was trying to ask Damashek to please limit his hashtag shtick on Total Access.
See, another hashtag.
He loves hashtags. Right. And he told me I look good. Hashtag confused.
So, I mean, like,
I think maybe just hashtag ignore him. I think with people like that, don't even give them the oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're right. But what about the last 4 minutes we just spent talking?
Well, that's what I mean.
I want to, like, you know me. I'm a man of the people. Mm-hmm. And when the people speak, I want to respond. And if one of these people who is tatted and a porn star and used to be in a semi-relevant band 30 years ago tells me that I'm not funny, I have to respond in some way. So maybe no more wisecracks. I'm sorry, fellas.
All right. Well.
Okay? So I'm going to have to play.
Listen, if I responded to everybody who sent me tweets and told me I had no idea what I was talking about in fantasy football, I'd spend the whole day.
Right, I mean, you already spent the whole day with people saying that in the office.
Exactly.
Are those
guys
tatted? Are those people tatted up?
They very well might be.
Pornos?
Well, I don't know about the pornos, but I don't really look at their avatars. I couldn't care less.
Hashtag not funny would be a good tag.
We love you here, Damashek. Don't worry about that guy.
Don't worry, Dave.
I'm going to try to move on, and let's do so now. On the record, the debut of our new segment here. What was that? That was a record scratch? Oh, I thought you might be playing some Biohazard for
us. That's
here we
after
go.
The show.
On the record, the debut of the new segment, first team up. We're going to go through it with their schedule upcoming here, the 2016 schedule for the Baltimore Ravens. Let's get into it. Let's hash through this and go game by game here. Of course, the storylines coming into this season, Buck Allen had a nice rookie season, which I predicted very quietly, Fabiano.
His yards per carry average wasn't very good.
I know, but I was so quiet about it, I didn't actually say it.
Okay.
But
I thought
he's going to be good coming out of USC. I actually did think he
might
be a nice
player. Wait a minute. That was your first mistake. An offensive skill position player who comes out of USC is typically not good.
No, I disagree, actually. I think he's a nice banger there for him. Yeah. But the question
Kenneth
is for
Dixon,
them,
buddy.
They're both long in the tooth, and also callow at wide receiver, but the injuries are the
injury to Breshad Perriman. I mean, that's a killer.
Yeah, I mean, they spent.
It could have been worse, though. I mean, they were initially talking about it being a torn ACL.
Yeah, here's the thing. When that happens at this time of year, and then you hear, actually, everything's fine, not going to be fine. It's not going to.
Luckily,
if he plays four games this year, I'd be surprised.
Luckily, well, they did add Mike Wallace in the offseason, but they also have to be concerned about Steve Smith.
So have teams for the last 3 years, and that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, in Pittsburgh, he was a heck of a wide receiver.
So. Well, but that is, the one thing Joe Flacco does best, of course, is throw that deep ball.
Sure.
Yep.
And so that
certainly better
too.
Than the last two quarterbacks.
You would think that's good news for Mike Wallace and for Flacco. They have questions at tight end, maybe answered by Ben Watson, who's getting up there, but did have a great year.
Dennis Pitta is still in the mix there.
Yep. I know, but we don't know what his
right. They also have Max Williams. They have Crockett Gilmore
we don't know about. Right. And, of course, mm-hmm. Max Williams. So at least they're rich at the tight end position. We can say that. Some questions now on the offensive line, always something that they could rely upon. And on the other side of the line of scrimmage, Suggs trying to come back from the Achilles. All right, so let's get into it here and hash through this schedule. And starting off with the Buffalo Bills in the Charm City, not an easy one. And Rex and Rob Ryan rolling back into town where they made a little bit of hay. Handsome, I start with you. A win or a loss here?
The start of the season is always a crapshoot as far as trying to predict these things. But I'll give it to the Ravens for this one.
Fabs?
I'm going loss.
You know
what? Going loss.
I think the Bills, obviously this is true for Flacco and Harbaugh and everybody else, but I think Rex Ryan really, they need to get off to a good start here. That thing could get sideways.
And where did Tyrod Taylor start his career? He may have a little bit of motivation to play well against Baltimore.
Good point, Fabs.
That is a good point.
You make it sound like, wow, Fabiano came up with a good point.
No, but he didn't use the adverb actually.
Yeah.
If you use actually, that's
but,
really.
But the tone.
That was actually a good point,
the
Fabiano.
Actually
made a good point.
Was in there. Thanks, Hank. I'm going to sit quietly now.
Fabiano. I'm going to go win. With Fabiano loss. So I'd say they're 0-1. Then they travel to Cleveland. Fabs,
okay. You got to give them a win in Cleveland, right?
Okay, so now we have them officially at 1-1. Then they travel down to Jacksonville. Everybody's very excited about this team.
Where they lose.
I'll give them a win in Jacksonville.
I will not.
I'm going to go with Handsome here. That gets them to 2-1. Then they host the Oakland Raiders, another team people are very excited
about.
Yeah,
but the Raiders don't – I mean, the one thing they still haven't overcome necessarily, and they're kind of a young team still, is traveling across the country.
Yeah.
They're a pretty good bet. Whenever they're on the road and having to travel a long way, they're a pretty good bet to lose.
The Jaguars, by the way, to go back, people are very excited about the Raiders. I think people were kind of excited about what the Raiders might do in 2015. We saw them make great strides, but I think this is their breakout year.
Yep.
I think Blake Bortles needs one more year.
Yeah.
To do it, even though, I mean, if you really go through, I know we get swept up in free agency when it's happening, and then the draft that they had, rounds one and two, they get some nice defensive, some potentially great defensive pieces there. But just look at the free agents they added defensively, too. They're so loaded, and yet it's a year too soon. And this is based on no specific analysis of the Jaguars, but on that trend that when a team goes out and adds all these pieces and Football America gets super excited about them, it's always premature.
I remember the Philadelphia Eagles did that a few seasons ago. It
did that
work
out
too well?
I can't remember.
So yes,
but
take them to 2-2. Yeah. Yes, Handsome. Go.
No. Let's carry on with the schedule.
Then they host the Beltway Bowl. And by the way, this is another one of my things. Why can't we have all the teams from that are in close proximity regionally? Why can't they play each other once a year?
Because of the NFL schedule, but yeah, Karen. Mm-hmm.
No, well, so what? So we have to modify it. That's it. Why can't D.C. and Baltimore meet every year? Why can't Philly and Pittsburgh play every year? Why can't Miami and Tampa play every year?
Because, are they
Dallas
really,
and Houston.
I get it, but are they really rivalries?
we would make them that. You see college football, those rivalries happen pretty easily, don't they?
That Jacksonville-Tampa Bay rivalry would be one heck of a barn
burner.
All right, let's talk about it. D.C. in Baltimore, the Beltway Series.
I'm going Baltimore because I've got to root against Washington as a Dallas Cowboys fan.
You know, that's another fascinating team, but go ahead, Hanson.
I think let's say that the Ravens win because it's a home game. Even though they're so close to each other.
It is hard to imagine. And keep in mind, Josh Norman's there in D.C. now. So he can help take away one of those limited pass catch
options. That's going to be interesting.
Whereas D.C.'s receiving core is good. Yeah. And the question is, in part, go ahead.
I really want to see.
Eric Weddle's back there now.
Remember some of the wide receivers, the big name guys, you know, Odell Beckham Jr., obviously, mm-hmm. Nuke Hopkins, were questioning whether or not Norman was as good of a shutdown corner. And maybe he was a guy who was a product of the defense. That is going to be one of the most interesting storylines for me, both in reality and fantasy, because when you see Josh Norman, I don't know if I want to start the number one wide receiver on the opposing team. Let's see if that trend continues with the Redskins. Now, the Redskins, maybe more than any other team in the history of the National Football League, at least the recent history, their free agent signings have not gone well.
National Football League. He's not even going NFL. Yeah. That's when you know Fabs is serious. Yes. He's full National Football League. I'm going to make my prediction here.
Okay.
Josh Norman underwhelms.
Yes.
In 2020.
I think he's going to be asking to travel with that number one receiver. I'm not sure it's going to go.
And I'm going to go against Jay Gruden here. I don't buy Jay Gruden still. I'm impressed by the championship or the division crown last year. 3-2 for the Ravens as they head again back-to-back. They play in New Jersey. That's an interesting
Let's say they split
there.
That
starting off
games.
With the Giants, and then they play the Jets. I say they lose to the Giants. I think that offense is going to be gangbusters. Yep. I think NFC East football, by the way, is just going to be lighting up the scoreboard like the AFC West circa 1968 or something like that. These teams are all low. I mean, offensively loaded, except for the Eagles, who do have some.
Another interesting scenario here: the Giants. I mean, against quarterbacks, against wide receivers, they were getting lit up, and they added so many pieces to their defense during the offseason. It's going to be interesting to see if the G-men are significantly better than they were last year. You would think they'd have to be at least somewhat better after all the money they spent on defense during the offseason. But, I mean, you're exactly right. Those offenses not only put up a lot of points on the field, but they also put up a lot of fantasy points.
Ravens, the Jets still don't have a quarterback as we sit here, or a good one at least, that we're aware of. So they're 3-3 are the Ravens as they travel back there. What do we say here?
I think they win that one. I think they win one of the games in New York.
I would agree. I would agree.
4-3, then they get
going
the bye.
Into the bye. 4-3.
I'm going to predict they won't win in Week 8.
Well, they host the Pittsburgh Steelers. Flacco tends to beat the Steelers in Heinz Field over the last several years. It's unfortunately true for Steeler fans. The Steelers have fared reasonably well in Baltimore for their part. Coming off the bye, they'll be nice and rested up. Thank goodness at least the Steelers and Ravens aren't playing until, you know, the second half of the season. I hate when they play early.
Yeah.
It's not right. Should be at least chilly out. What do we think? You're going to say loss, Handsome Hank?
I'm saying loss to the Steelers.
Boy,
they're my Super Bowl
team.
Love
these Steelers. Really?
But look at you. You're always the guy who's, I mean,
I'll stay
it's
out
fine.
Of it.
It's fine in season for you to be like, oh no, I don't like it for the Steelers this week, but 3 months out, you can't be that good.
And I feel like you were so nice to invite me onto the show. How can I pick against the Steelers?
That's how I feel as well.
That's decorum, everybody.
Come on.
Thursday night football. The Ravens host the Browns. We're going to give them a win there.
Yep.
5-4.
Here it comes. I can't. I love you, Dave, but not enough
Ravens
to pick against my Dallas
at the Dallas Cowboys.
They lose in Dallas.
Yep. They're 5-5 now. Season isn't going good unless they make a late season push here.
They lose to the Bengals.
They host the Bengals, and they're going to lose that one. Those games are always ugly.
There's going to be a split there.
Play, it seems like those games
are
colors, wonky.
The colors do not look good together. That's one of the reasons.
I disagree. I think they kind of don't look too bad. That purple and orange, no?
No.
Okay. What you're saying loss there? What do you say, Fab?
Yeah, I say there's going to be a split.
We're going to say split, so the season ends in Cincy. So let's add that one there. That gets them to 6-6. Mm-hmm. They host the Miami Dolphins.
The undefeated Miami Dolphins.
This looks good. This is a surprisingly attractive matchup.
It is a good matchup.
That aqua versus the purple looks kind of nice.
It's not teal? Is it teal?
It's not teal.
It's aqua?
Teal. Aqua.
Aqua.
Say it the way he said it, please.
The Dolphins, they're at this point, they're 12-0, so they just roll straight on.
Makes some sense, Fabiano.
home game against Miami. I'm going Baltimore.
I don't know about the Dolphins this year. I can't make any sense. We'll have to see Adam Gase.
These are both teams. You know, there are some teams I can make sense of. Yeah, the Dolphins and the Ravens are pretty tough.
6-7. They go to New England for a Monday night game. Good night there.
Well, I mean, listen, Baltimore's got a pretty good, you know, trend going against New England. I don't know that that's a lock.
He's not wrong.
I would still pick the Patriots, but.
But that was a different.
I wouldn't be
that was a
shocked.
Different Ravens team. This Ravens team is maybe in need of a little bit of an overhaul.
Mm. Is which one is
the
Ravens?
Ravens team may be in need of a little bit of an overhaul that by the end of the year. If we've got them to 6-8 now, then they're going to lose. Let's say they beat the Eagles to get to 7-8, and then they finish.
Okay.
By losing both to the Steelers and Bengals.
Wait a second. I don't think this is the first I'm realizing this. Christmas Day. What a gift from the football gods.
Mm-hmm. That's the one. That's the one game is on Christmas Day.
I might have to
make
a trip.
I think, is it one or is it two?
This might require a trip. Damashek.
Wait a minute.
The banks of the Three Rivers to celebrate with Santa.
Well, sounds like a great idea.
At that point, you'll have four children. For Christmas Day, Dad's got to be home for Christmas.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Trip can't.
Maybe
but I'm gonna
more
watch
than
it.
Four by then, Fabs.
That's still
6 months away.
So if we're giving them a loss, we now have the Ravens, and I want it for the record. You heard those picks there, Ravens fans. This wasn't Damashek trying to undo any optimism you might have. This is a collective effort, and we have the Baltimore Ravens.
That's 7-9.
A drum roll. Well, he just said it, but there
Sorry.
You have it. 7-9.
Which seems about right to me.
7-9.
That Baltimore seems about
Ravens.
Right.
So that's an opportunity then for Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, because if the Ravens come back, then that presumably is going to knock down those two teams that were battling mm-hmm. for the division crown mm-hmm. a year ago if 7-9 does come to pass. All right. Next up, we're going to do Dead or Alive. But first, before we do that, I guess, we are going to do – a visit with our pal, or I guess we're just talking about the Cincinnati Bengals, a guy who played for his beloved Cincinnati Bengals, one of the state of Ohio's great legends, played at Ohio State, then finished up with those Bengals in 2015. AJ Hawk and I took a walk, and we talked about chili. All right, now we're in Lambeau, where you told me once that in an especially cold January playoff game, at halftime, you and some of your teammates put your helmets into the sauna to warm it up, and then you drink chicken soup on the sideline.
I invented that sauna. Helmet
Is that
sauna.
True?
Yeah, because then I see these young guys like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, put my helmet in the sauna. What are you talking about? I'm de-thawing it during halftime.
And you drink chicken soup.
I don't personally, but
they
have
give
it there.
It to
they
you.
Have it there. Yes.
That seems very
if you see like a guy holding it and you see the steam coming up, it's a little chicken broth. Chicken broth, not soup. They're not chewing on noodles and chicken.
Do they give the soup to the road team?
Probably not. Actually,
I like that move. That's a cool move.
I think you might have to. You know, the NFL is crazy. However many, you know, with the heaters in the sidelines, if this sideline has three heaters, their sideline has to have three. If one goes down, you got to shut one down.
Isn't it weird to think, they should, but
it's
gotta
be fair. Okay.
I like the move of no chicken soup for you.
Soup and salad is not a meal either, by the way.
You don't think so, eh?
No, my wife thinks that. It's not a meal.
Do you think that chili is a soup?
No.
It's its own thing.
And I know where you're going with this. Skyline's great, so watch your mouth.
Well, I don't understand. So, you know, every region, every city has its thing. You mentioned Primanti's in Pittsburgh. Seattle, you always see the guys throwing the fish at Pike Market to go get some fresh salmon. When they do it in the two worst, Cincinnati has watery chili, Skyline chili. It's the worst. They put it over noodles. Don't bother. Don't even bother.
They put it on hot dogs and they're called cheese conies.
Fine. Everybody has chili. So this idea that Cincinnati has cornered the market on chili, and it's not even good chili. The other bad one is St. Louis has toasted ravioli.
I've never heard of that.
Don't bother with that either. Would you, in a two-course meal, would it be acceptable to get soup and chili?
Oh, 100%.
You could do both?
Yeah, I was just
thinking. Which comes first?
Soup or chili?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Whatever she brings first. Whatever the waiter or waitress brings.
But I mean, like, which is the meal and which is the appetizer?
Well, I'm gonna if it's that way, I'm going to have two bowls of soup and two bowls of chili. So I'd go soup, chili, soup, chili.
Soup, chili, soup, chili.
Yeah. And, I'm not scared to order two bowls of soup. So I went to dinner the other night with a group of people. And Mike Nugent, kicker for the Bengals, I grew up, he was there.
Name drop.
And I ordered, yeah, big name drop. Nugent's awesome. Big bowl of minestrone vegetable soup. It was so good. I was starving, so I ordered it. My entree came, and I said, hey, can I have another bowl of this soup as well? And so then they brought their soup out, and everyone's like, oh, we didn't know one ordered that. I was like, yes, you did. Bring it right here, bud. And so people thought it was crazy that I'm ordering two bowls of the same soup. Hmm. I ate it, and I ate my salmon or whatever and went about my way.
I'm not going to jive you, and I'm not going to apologize to you either. I love A.J. Hawk.
I do, too. But, I mean, two bowls of soup? Is that all right, have you ever done that?
Well, he's a football man, so he's a bigger man than
right,
we
yeah.
are. You know, so I can, I'll let him off the hook for that. But where do you come down on chili, having soup and chili as your meal?
I think that's fine. I feel like they're different substances.
Yeah, eat whatever you want.
You're cool with that too, Fast.
Yeah,
so you would,
fine.
Which order would you order them in?
Well, soup first.
Soup first.
Soup first.
Yeah, because the chili sort of becomes the meal.
You need to go from like
what if
the
it's a
liquid
chowder,
to something which is a little bit more solid.
Yeah, but what if it's a nice New
How about
England
a bouillabaisse?
Chowder,
base.
A chowder base is still
is
soup.
Dinner. That bouillabaisse yeah. is dinner or a chia pino.
Different. Really. It's the same thing.
I know, but
you
I, in that case, I would
and
go
bouillabaisse.
Chili.
Yeah.
Right. I would go chili and then bouillabaisse.
Oh, I wouldn't
soup.
Do that. Because I feel like those two are the same. I think that soup and chili are different items, whereas bouillabaisse and chili, I feel like are, you know, essentially both thick.
You don't
thick
well. What you don't want to do is if you're gonna test this, if you can get away with ordering soup and chili, don't order bouillabaisse and chili because they're gonna be too
right.
close. A lot of tomato.
Yeah,
a lot of tomato base.
Mm-hmm.
In there.
Yeah. Now, do you get a salad before anything? You go salad, soup, and then chili?
Who said anything about the salad, Fabian?
I'm just no asking. Bringing in some complex thinking.
No one wanted anything to
I'm
do with
I'm thinking this. Deep on this subject here.
Right.
Where I eat soup or salad.
You yeah, can't
they,
get
they
both.
Don't give me
well,
an
that,
offer.
That's
of both.
The answer.
They say soup or salad.
That's
sir.
The answer.
But, Dave, you're a celebrity. You can order
I know.
It. You're the type of person that that's could be true. Like, hey, exactly the same as Walkin' Hawk says. Hey, you know, bring me. What are you eating now?
Stop trying to change the name of the segment.
What are you doing?
Not Walkin' Hawk.
What,
Walkin'
got some,
Hawk
what are you eating
some
now?
Some peanuts and raisins over yeah, there.
Some nuts.
Yeah.
Hey, let's do it now.
In the middle of a show. With
let's. I'm hungry.
That's what happens when you have your own show. You can do what you want.
Yeah, I'm abbreviating it here, but nevertheless, I promised that we would play Dead or Alive. So let's get to it. Dance, Fabiano, dance.
I love the Bee Gees.
That was Dick Banks, the one-man house
yeah.
band, in fact. Sounded
Not
very much
Sounds
like
a lot.
I know.
Barry Gibb there.
Very cool.
And let's get into it here, Dead or Alive. I'm going to make a statement to you. You tell me. And let me explain this one first, though. We saw it once again rear its head, and I want to know, or did it rear its head, and or are there other factors at play here? On Sunday night, the Golden State Warriors, who most people, not Dave Damashek, but most people thought would win the NBA title going away against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I submit that maybe they got sposted. They got the curse of sposta working against them. This is a theory I advanced a couple of years ago. It is, there's nothing worse than being the team, well, there are things worse, but you don't want to be the team that's supposed to do it, you know, and heavily favored to do it. If you're supposed to do it, that adds a pressure to you. It takes the joy out of it, too. You only feel relief when you win, like, oh, thank goodness we avoided that. I think it was too much for the Warriors to bear. They were supposed to win, especially up 3-1. Then they lose that game at home. Uh-oh, now we're in trouble in Cleveland. We'll go out there. We didn't win that. Well, now we're back on our home court, Game 7, all the marbles. We're definitely supposed to win this one. Too much. Handsome Hank, is the curse of Sposta dead or alive, or is there some other factor at play here?
Dave, I mean, of all the theories that, you know, since I've known you, of all the theories that you've, I think posited is a word.
Okay.
If it is, let's pretend it is. Of all the theories that you, this is my favorite of yours.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't know why it would be dead. I absolutely 100% subscribe to it. I think it makes perfect sense, and I don't know why when we saw it happen again, as you just pointed out, why it could possibly be dead. It's very much alive, and it will continue to be alive for exact. And you just made another excellent point.
Did I?
In your description of it, because it takes the joy out of it. I think that's something I hadn't even considered before, but it's you're exactly right. You know, teams. that can go in and especially have the pressure off and play against a team that's supposed to, and can play and just be like, wow, we're just lucky to be here, and wouldn't it be amazing to beat these guys because they're, you know, supposed to be the, you know.
See, I might have to
have an advantage.
I might have to use this for a column idea in fantasy football, because the supposed to factor, like last year, Andrew Luck was supposed to be the best quarterback in fantasy football. C.J. Anderson was supposed to be one of the best running backs. Jeremy Hill was supposed to be an RB1.
You have to say supposed to.
Supposed to. I apologize. And it didn't happen. So this year, you've got a lot of those.
Right.
David Johnson is supposed to. I want to make sure I'm saying it right. Be an elite
it's not that hard.
Running
it's not
back.
Supposed to, fella.
Supposed to.
Ezekiel Elliott situation, the same kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That could be interesting, Damashek. You've inspired me.
Well, I'll tell you another one, too. If you're not a basketball fan, but you are beholden to pigskin purely, the Super Bowl. The Carolina Panthers were supposed to roll the Denver Broncos.
Supposed to.
They should have made quick work of them, right? They were
And that's why...
And I think legitimately that affects Cam Newton.
That's why Cam was so frustrated at the end, because he knew he was supposed to, and he was kind of embarrassed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk to well, I guess we've left the doctor on call hanging here for a second. Let's resolve that right now. The curse is supposed to in the world of sports, dead or alive. Oh, yeah, very much alive. More alive than ever in the 21st century.
Seems like a weird, like me taking you right now to the doctor and saying, hey, can you check whether Damashek's dead or alive?
You're right. Well, I didn't know. I wanted to bring it up.
Wanted to talk about the supposed to. That's
the
fine.
Greatness of my theory and how it has once again proven accurate. I don't know. Maybe you would say, no. It had nothing to do with those outside things. It was that Steph Curry had a bum knee, or they were upset about Draymond getting suspended, or the fouls were, there were a lot of people out there throwing around fix talk, including Steph. Whoa!
Oh, yeah, guys. Once again, it's time, our surprise random game show.
Fabs looks scared.
I'm excited.
Explain. That's your excited face?
I'm excited.
I like this less than I did a few weeks ago when I was undefeated.
Yeah,
but
now you're now very much defeated.
I've lost to Hanzeus last week. I lost to Bald Brian Bishop from the Adam Carolla show on a movie-based one. It was Kevin Costner movies. And I failed to name the Untouchables. That was
an
embarrassing one. But he did, too, and he's more of a movie guy, so shame on him. And that's it. And I've won all the other games. So I don't like doing it. I like it better when I'm undefeated at these things. So
we can start over today.
All right.
0-0.
Thank you, Bartlett, for not correcting me. Handsome Hank is staring at me right now.
I think he's fascinated
handsome
how
one,
you talk and
handsome
chew.
Handsome one, as usual. With some
wait.
Gamesmanship. That's all.
As usual.
That's
when have I ever?
Same thing as Game of Thrones. The Game of Thrones fantasy game. You're crooked.
We'll get to that in a bit here. But before we do that,
you're crooked. Hank.
Today's surprise show put together by the two-syllabled Kent Brown.
Hey, let me say this. Shout out and thanks to everybody behind the glass. I see everybody wearing ugly pink T-shirts. The reason for those pink T-shirts. It is, if you go to backpagepress.com, if you buy one of those, it raises money for my peeps, Mitchell and Natalie, who can use it. So go buy one of those T-shirts. Very nice. Backpagepress.com. You'll also find a much more handsome T-shirt, the Czech Republic T-shirt, which you can also get for a limited time. That the money will go to the aforementioned Mitchell and Natalie. But anyway... Hit it. Appreciate you guys wearing those T-shirts, but let's get to business here. Bartlett.
All right, business. So, you know, tonight, NBA draft, Thursday night NBA draft here.
Coming at you on Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
So we kind of put together a list here. Dating back to the last five NFL drafts, so that's back to 2012.
Okay.
There have been 22.
He's on his computer.
You're not allowed to look up answers,
You're not
answers,
to look
Fabiano.
Up answers, Fabs.
I'm checking out my Twitter.
No, I just saw you type in
Close
NFL
it.
Draft.
Hank, you're tall enough that you
can
reach
his computer. You got to confiscate that.
Shame on you.
I've never done this before. I don't know the rules.
What?
I'll tell you
the
you're not supposed to look at your...
The rules of any game show is Google's not involved. I mean, that's... Sorry.
Oh, it's a trivia game. All right, let me get
I had no idea.
Let me get the answers.
I had no idea.
Fabs was in it for the win.
That's outrageous.
I'm in it to win it.
That's outrageous. All right, go
Let's
ahead.
Let's go.
All right, so
that was embarrassing
since 2012, dating over the last five NFL drafts, there have been 22 receivers selected in the first round. How many of them can you name?
Since 2012, you say?
Since 2012.
All right. Look here. This is very difficult already. I'm already having a tough time with it. We've just begun, and I'm already having a hard time. I have two so far. Only two.
Since 2012.
Since 2012.
Since 2012.
Last five.
Don't look at mine, Dave.
I think look at yours. I,
well,
like,
look
I care.
At mine,
like,
Dave.
I care what you think.
Dave. Cheat.
Defeat you.
Why don't we let nothing. Fabs and his computer go first?
Yeah, what are
listen,
we waiting? This is yeah. All
I can't,
of a sudden, we're compiling our
I lists. I can't write fast enough.
Fabiano, go ahead. Then name your guy, man.
Julio Jones.
Damn it!
That was too.
Oh, he was 2011.
The computer lied. Fabs went to Wikipedia, obviously.
All right, Hanson.
The computer is closed.
Why don't I go with Sammy Watkins?
I had him listed too.
That's a good one. All right. I'm going to go with
Odell
Beckham.
Good one, Dave. How did you come up with that? Devontae Parker.
I got him down too. Darn. I'm going to go with Nuke Hopkins.
Brashad Perriman.
Ah, that was a good one. We talked about him and everything. I should have had that one ready to go, but I didn't. And we can't live life in the rear view.
Just don't talk. Do.
Dez Bryant.
Oh! Yes! How did I cheat?
As soon as I said it, I
realized
that's
not even earlier
close.
Than Julio.
You're
yeah.
right. I know that was a terrible.
What
game.
Are you
now
thinking?
Hank needs one to clinch.
Okay. No, he doesn't because he went second.
It's fine, I'll give you Sterling Shepard anyway.
Play the music.
Good job, Hank.
That was a woeful effort.
That was awful. I mean, we could have been going for another 20 minutes.
Josh Dotson.
Yep, all of the ones from this year.
Right. Laquon Treadwell.
Laquon.
Will Fuller.
Yeah. Anybody else?
You got.
Read them off.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah, 22.
All right, we got Nelson Aguilar, Tavon Austin, Kelvin Tavon Benjamin.
Austin. Was T.Y. Hilton on there?
Nope. Nope. Second.
Second round. Okay.
No, fourth round, I think.
Justin
T.Y.
Blackman.
Was that late?
Corey Coleman.
Wow.
Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Philip Dorsett, Mike Evans.
Amari Cooper. Dang.
Michael Floyd, Will Fuller. A.J. Jenkins,
Carl
Patterson.
A.J. Jenkins.
There's
Kevin
some bums
Wirt.
On that list. That's funny that there's some real bums. That we already know that they're abject failures.
Yep.
It's
yep.
only going back to 2012. Boy, that was well,
that was
really
bad.
Poorly done by yep. you and me, Fabiano.
Yep,
we should
yep.
hang our heads. I, you know what?
Curse is supposed to, Dave. Curse is supposed to.
I think
you're
I,
supposed to yourself.
But you
minutes
know what,
after
though?
Talking about it.
No one outside this locker room believes in me, and I have to get back into that mentality
right.
instead of the supposed to. I think I flew a little too close to the sun like Icarus because I started to feel it with my victories in trivia games. I was undefeated at one point at this. I went on the Around the NFL podcast. I played for the toaster formerly known as Chris Wessling's toaster. It now belongs to me for
didn't
for
you
all
throw of- it in the trash?
I'm still thinking about what to do with it. I might throw it away. Maybe I'll give it to Evan Seinfeld. I don't know what. But either way, I think I've regressed to my mean is the
yeah.
bottom line. I was never cut out. I don't like the pressure of these trivia games. I can't think straight, and I think we've seen that now over the last couple of weeks. Doesn't make me happy, but know who you are.
You wouldn't
I'm
fare well in Jeopardy.
Kind of, yeah, no. And I get a lot of tweets from people, too, regarding this game, saying, oh, I would beat you, and I could beat Wessling or Handsome or whoever. Yeah, I don't know. When you get the white-hot light on you, it's hard.
Come on.
Yeah, it just is a different thing. Yep. It is a little bit tougher. All right, real quick, let me show you this.
And if you don't have Google.
I didn't use it.
Well, what
clearly.
Well, clearly you didn't
lost.
Use it. You didn't get
you tried
what
to
I'm
use
saying.
It. You can't then after the fact be like, I didn't use it. Yeah, but you
tried to. Luckily,
someone needed to explain the rules to me.
But then you denied it. You said, I'm not looking it up. I watched you type in.
I didn't
no,
break
I,
into your
I
house.
I typed in 2016
NFL
draft.
Right, so that would have got you six answers.
The policeman arrests the guy breaking through the window, and then the guys understand, like, I didn't go into the house and steal
right.
valuable jewels. Yeah, but you wanted to.
You smashed the window.
All right, let's get to this. Emma VP, once again, tremendous work. We're in a nice rhythm here with this. This we've been doing these for Total Access and for YouTube and for you, the DDFP.
So wait, this is going on Total Access?
Yes,
uh-oh.
This will be on there. This is an evaluation.
So Evan Seinfeld is lost.
he's going to be upset.
He's already lost.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the wheels were already in motion. I'm sure by next week, yeah. Roger will have weighed in and said, you know, the valuable
no more of that,
tattooed Don't porno we demo, got you. We've got demo you. Is one we can't afford to lose. All right, let's get to it. Today, I evaluate the 85 Bears defense, an all-time great, but do we need 31 years later to keep invoking that as like, well, that defense currently is no 85 Bears? Maybe we need an update, and maybe we'll get one after you see this. Damashek here. The 85 Bears, and specifically Buddy Ryan's 46 defense, remain the stuff of legend, and deservedly so. But with all due respect, Aaron Rodgers would have torched them, and so would today's other high-end QBs. Sure, there's some reckless speculation in that statement. And listen, I'm old enough to have witnessed the phenomenon that the 46 defense was, an eight-man front that negated any chance of a run game, but also rushed the passer like nobody's business. Basically, it was a jailbreak on every down. Here's what it looked like from a quarterback's POV. But allow me to make my case. Point one, the 85 Bears faced exactly one team that won as many as 12 games that season. That team was the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins beat the Bears. In fact, the Bears are tied among Super Bowl champs for having faced the fewest 12-win teams since the schedule went to 16 games in 1978. Now, of course, that's not a direct indictment of the defense, but it ain't a compliment either. Point two, the 46 defense did directly benefit from getting to face a pretty crummy gaggle of QBs that season. Mike Pagel, David Archer, forget Aaron Rodgers. Those two guys don't add up to even one Andy Dalton. Fine, the Bears beat Joe Montana and the second place Niners, who didn't have a vintage season as they transitioned into the Jerry Rice era. And anyway, one game against Montana is more than offset by two each against Eric Hipple and Jim Zorn. Each of those wins really should only have counted for half. Look at January, though. This is where it really gets bad, or good if you were a Bears fan. They got a yet-to-be-good Phil Sims, CFL star Dieter Brock, and the Steve Grogan champagne tonies and platter in the Super Bowl. Imagine if that had been Tom Brady instead. No, not a 9-year-old Brady. I mean, modern day. Forget it. But it does bring me to point three. Had Marino not gotten to Tupu'd in the muck and mire of the AFC title game, he would have repeated what he already did to the 46 defense in early December of 85. Namely, he would have whipped them, especially in the climate-controlled fast track of the Superdome. Marino could have and would have beaten the 46 repeatedly thanks to his quick release, big arm, and the willingness to hang in the pocket. You know who else those attributes describe? Aaron Rodgers. But Rodgers has one quality over Marino. Rodgers can also run away from the pressure. And while Marino's receivers Mark Clayton and Mark Duper were very good, Jordy Nelson is more physical and therefore better suited to beat the bump and run coverage of the Bears' so-so secondary. Bottom line, we know the 46 defense wouldn't work today against high-end QBs because it didn't work against the one high-end QB they faced in their glorious 85 season. And yes, in spite of everything I just said, it was indeed a glorious season. I love all things about Chicago, save one, their hot dog. Who puts a tomato wedge on a wiener? What can I say? You've done it again, Dave. Banner work.
Well, I'd say Emma did it again.
Well, she did it. And also Kristen assisted with the pulling of all those great Chicago Bears clips you just saw there. That is fun to see those. Mm. Some really high end, especially in the front seven there in the Chicago yep. Bears. But I do stand by what I say. Marino would have torched them in that
yep.
Super Bowl. That change the trajectory of the Chicago Bears of the 80s would look quite different had Dan Marino been there in New Orleans awaiting them. I think he would have torched them.
I remember the Cowboys losing 44-0 in Dallas against that defense.
That was their breakout.
Oh, man, that was painful to watch as a Cowboys fan.
Then they rolled through the playoffs without any team scoring a point on them until they got to the Super Bowl.
That's true, but they also played, as I mentioned, Dieter Brock in the
yep.
in the NFC title game, mm-hmm. and it was so cold against the Giants that Sean Landetta, their young punter at the time, literally completely whiffed on a punt. The only score of the first half in that divisional round game, Sean Landetta with his heels at his own goal line. It was so windy and blustery and cold in Chicago that day that he literally tried to make the punt, didn't even touch it. The ball, he just whiffed the punt, and I forget who picked it up, and maybe it was Sean Gale is going to be my guess. Yeah. Sean Gale picked it up and ran it in. Is that right?
I think it is, and it's the shortest punt return in NFL history.
Ah, that counts as a punt return?
Shortest punt return for a touchdown in the NFL.
That's a nice bit of trivia, but yeah. How about Damashek nailing it again? I'm back, baby!
Wait, I just nailed it even more.
Not really. I just summoned the name. I'm back, baby. Who wants to play another? Hit it. Well, I want another game show. No? All right, we'll do that next time. All right, we don't have time for that.
Returns in
the other game we have to talk about, it's the most important game of all this week.
This is
true. Game of Thrones. Finale.
How good was it last week?
Let's get our update of our fantasy league here next season. Hear me now, believe me later. We are going to blow this thing out.
By the way, how did I not get an invite for this?
Well, we did it really kind of quickly.
Yeah, it was very much last minute.
Mike Taylor, the producers behind
the glass. I'm in next season.
Next year, though, we got to get Jeff Schwartz of the Lions, Kyle Long of the Bears. I forget who else.
Jay Cutler of the
Bears. Kevin Hogan of the Chiefs, who we talked with. In fact, go back and look at our weekly preview from last week, Kevin Hogan of the Chiefs and I Kibitz, about what was a great episode, especially for Dave Damashek. 38 points for Damashek, right back in this thing.
Yeah, you're excited about second place.
Dave Damastark jumps up the leaderboard. I was near the bottom until this week, but as I predicted, Jon Snow made his hay at the expense of Lord Bolton and company. I don't understand how Handsome Hank only lost to me by 6 points this past week. Someone want to explain the scoring here?
Yeah, okay.
Jon Snow killed half of the Bolton army himself.
Well, I added
and,
up
and
John
I only get
Snow.
6 more points.
Jon Snow had 23 kills.
At the tape.
Jon Snow had 23 kills that we saw, so that's 46 points.
Okay.
Dario had 1 kill, but you lost small John Umber. He perished, so that was minus 10. As for Hank, Daenerys, 15 kills with her dragons. They lit up an entire ship, so that's 30 points.
Where did you come up with 15 points?
I counted 15
Watch
people,
the people
that perished.
Some of them jumped off boats.
Oh, you saw actually 15 people?
Yeah, I counted
people?
15.
Okay,
yes.
Fair's fair. All right. Yes, I thought you were estimating how many people were on one of those ships, which would be absurd.
No, don't worry. We're playing by the rules here.
I'll tell you, though, based on that, though, when you get the dragons – with Khaleesi, I mean, she's the number one overall
player. I mean, it's a can of worms. Why he gets those points? Why don't you? Why, so does
Wait
somebody get
a second?
What about Sansa's dogs?
Now, look, at the beginning, what we said was, can I have all the dragons? And you and Maurice and I looked up from your bits of paper, dead-eyed, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then afterwards, you complained a little bit. But she was riding the dragon. It wasn't normally, if the dragon could have been off flying somewhere, we didn't even count those. But she was riding the dragon. She was driving the car.
You make a compelling case. I think it comes down to – so is that pretty much it, that it comes down to me and Handsome for the finale?
It looks like
I lost two people as well this week. I still – you know, I lost Ramsey.
Yeah, you have to redraft
Daily
right
departed.
Now. So here's who lost people.
Yeah, he lost his points for Ramsey,
I lost points, but
yes.
But I was so far ahead.
That
and he also lost – he lost for Rickon, too. Rickon also.
I canceled Rickon. Myself out. Ramsey
– great pick there, Rickon. Doesn't even know what the serpentine.
Right, he's an idiot.
Never saw the movie In-Laws. You have to serpentine when somebody's shooting at you.
Yep. Hank got a bonus point because his character, Ramsey, killed 1-1, and that was a drafted character by MJD. MJD got back to me. He's taking Missandei in Tier 3, so she's off the board in Tier 3.
He's not a threat.
But why should Ramsey get the kill for 1-1? I mean, 1-1 had 20 arrows in him.
He was the one that did the
he had 20 arrows in him.
Pierced his eye and killed him. It was Ramsey.
He was dying before.
I don't know.
He was dying before that one.
I mean, like, that doesn't matter. That's how he perished.
Kent Brown behind the glass. Just be honest with me. I won't be angry with you unless you lie to me. That's
sure.
The thing. Does Handsome Hank pay for your lunch every day or something? Why is everything that's gray go in his favor?
What do you mean? It's not gray. There's no gray area.
We didn't see that at who shot that arrow.
Yes, we did.
We saw the arrow.
Yes, we saw.
Wait, did you even watch
Ramsey
this?
Did shoot the arrow that hit him in the eye, but he had like 20 arrows in him already. He was done.
Check. Much like on our Game of Thrones, there might have been a handshake deal, but it wasn't caught on camera, so we can't confirm it.
They're going to have fish and chips after this show is over.
I don't know what to
Babs,
make of
calm
it.
Down. We don't need
I don't care here. Because Dario, we see him in the preview. We see him riding with his barbaric cutlass alongside of all the Dothraki there. So that means you know he's going to win.
Who we draw? I want to draw.
Okay, so Tier 1. Sheck and Hank each have to pick one more because Small John Umber perished, and then also Rickon perished. Here's your remaining people. Mace Tyrell, Sir Pounce the Cat, and Nymeria the Wolf. So we'll lead it off with you, Sheck. Who are you going to pick out of those three to replace Small John Umber?
Who was the first one? Mace Tyrell?
Mace Tyrell.
I don't know. Who's he?
Mace Tyrell's
the bald guy
that's been involved with
he's got the white
the Tyrell family.
All right, I'll go with him.
And then what about you, Hank? It's either Nymeria or the Wolf.
Who cares? I mean, like, none of those three are going to get any points. It doesn't matter.
You know what? I don't know about that. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I don't want anybody. because it can only hurt me. That Mace Tyrell is more likely to get killed. I don't want any of those people.
The cat's not going to get killed.
The hounds are all getting killed, so I don't want any of them either.
The cat.
But here's the big one. Hank also now has a tier 4 that's available. You lost Ramsey Bolton. Here's who you can choose from. Brianna Tarth, Marjorie Tyrell, Samwell Tarly, or Braun. One of those four. So Brianna Tarth.
I don't like this one.
Sam's not killing anybody.
Sam's not killing anyone.
You got the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Right, that's what I was about to do.
Hank. Why would I not? So wait, I've got
Brianna Tarth on a roster.
Marjorie, by the way, who, you know, she might, who knows?
Marjorie, by the way, I know people fancy Daenerys. She's nude and on fire, literally, some of the time. But Marjorie Tyrell, Dave's number one.
You like that?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, she's my top pick as well. Wait, Tarly and who else?
Tarly and then Braun.
Braun.
I don't understand how Brianna's not on a roster.
What do you think, Fabs?
Fabiano, by the way.
Start or sit?
Start.
I'll take Brianna Tarth.
I don't understand how she's not on a roster.
She is now.
She's on my roster.
How does she make it this far without being on a roster?
Well, wasn't drafted, and then we had to wait for people to die in the same category.
Okay.
In that category.
All right, fine. So it really does come down to me and Handsome here.
I think it's over already.
The updated scoring.
You see the scores, Fabiano. And by the way, don't miss Fabiano. You can see it on Facebook, on Twitter. And beyond, make sure you track down his weekly.
This is a dynasty league.
Sits
as well,
and starts.
Right?
It's not a dynasty.
No, it's not.
No, we have to start fresh.
Stop.
We've got to add some more NFL guys in the off season here. Who's going to win this? Handsome is up 12 on me. Mm-hmm.
And,
next closest has
a woman about to fly on a dragon and destroy a bunch of people. Sorry.
Producer Sully and Meister Rydell, the worst Meister in all the Seven Kingdoms, are trailing. I mean, they might get the bronze medal, and that's about it. No dignity for them, though.
Ike has still not watched a single show.
Is that right? I'm not surprised.
Ike has never watched it. I don't even know how he got any points.
I do like his new name, Bree Ike of Tarth.
Our team's going to score this week, by the way. Black Tie, myself, and Ryan, because we have Cersei, the Mountain, King Tommen. None of our characters were on last week, but I think we're going to have a strong closing.
Dude, Cersei.
We'll see.
Why would you pick King Tommen? You might as well take the cat.
He's converted. He's converted now. So, all right, go ahead. Who's going to win this thing, Fabio?
Ooh, I mean, 8-point lead. Can you bring up the rosters again?
No, 12-point.
All right, 12-point lead. Can I see the rosters again? Because, I mean, Jon Snow, I mean, he's a stud, but he's got Daenerys and three dragons.
Right, and he's not battling.
That's tough, man.
What happened to Game of
Thrones? Tormund Giantsbane is always
Isn't he now the king or what? Not king, but isn't he now
no,
like
No, I would
the,
say he got demoted.
Isn't he now in charge of Winterfell?
No, Sansa is.
Wait a second.
That's questionable.
He's a bastard.
That's questionable.
So no
Sansa is.
Sansa. I don't know. Either way, so what do we think here, Fabs?
It's close. I would say it's going to be very close at the end of this, but I'm going to go with Handsome Hank. I like that you have Snow and the Hound, though. I do, but Tormund Giantsbane is always a good bet to make a few kills.
And don't forget, that's right. I forgot I have the Hound. He's going to show up again this episode.
At
he's
some
probably
point.
Gonna kill, he's probably even going to kill the Mountain, and so I'll get points.
Maybe
that.
Not in the finale.
Here's one.
I don't know.
Here's
the deal. Game of Thrones, always the penultimate episode, is the one where there's a lot of battling and killing, and then they set up some cliffhangers for you in episode 10, always a little bit disappointing compared to the previous
Correct.
One. And so I don't think I don't think Jon Snow's going to battle again. He's got to recover. He's covered in blood. He's going to take a break. He needs a bath.
This is my prediction. Yeah, that's what he does need that. But here's my prediction. Like you say, usually the penultimate episode is the one that has some great, earth-shattering
plot twist.
Piece. But it's usually super dark. Red Wedding, Red Viper getting his eyes poked out, whatever. Mm-hmm. This time, it was, and if I'm not mistaken, also it was the one where the White Walker held his arms up. Mm-hmm. That might have been the penultimate episode.
You didn't find Ramsay Bolton getting eaten by dogs to be particularly dark.
I thought it was dark, but it was something that made the audience happy.
It was great.
So, of course,
it was great.
But it was all sunshine.
I agree with you. I think
sunshine, a man being eaten by his own dog.
The fan favorites did well, and the most hated villain maybe in the history of television was turned into a dog bone.
Must now swing back, and if in seasons past darkness precedes a little bit of optimism, then based on that history, a little bit of, I mean, a significant amount of darkness or a happiness, good result for people who like, I mean, you know, they're all flawed people, but these are the Starks are better than than the Boltons.
Yep.
And so we just saw something good happen. That means bad.
Yeah. Cersei's going to be
something bad's happening.
Something's going to happen, man. Something bad's going to happen. Remember when her little minion there said that he had his little birds looking for something to find out if the rumor was true? And I wonder what they found. I've got a prediction for that, which is in my preview. I have a feeling Cersei's going to do something that's going to be big because she's psychotic and she's ticked off.
And you know what? What also gives credence to that one is they like to set things up. Jaime's comments about how he will, you know, how he will protect the ones that he loves and that she's the one he loves. I wouldn't be surprised if Cersei goes bye-bye and then Jaime's pissed for the whole of the next.
Or could it be that Jaime, you know, why did he go to House Frey instead of going back to the woman that he loves? Maybe something's going to happen there. Maybe you know, the Lannisters got something up their sleeves.
Walter Frey always eating drinking wine with it dripping out of his
Right, and he's always patting his daughters and that on the tush.
Lovers, yeah.
Right.
My one other prediction for this week, and Fabs, I apologize, I haven't yet watched your preview. Maybe it's in there, but I believe two of my people, and one of the reasons I drafted Brienne, there will be having a little bit of fun together.
Brienne, really?
Bree and Tormund. I believe this is this last episode.
Double
maybe,
points. For
maybe
is that right?
Yep.
Wow.
Vigorous lovemaking session between two of your characters equals a lot of points for handsome.
That's what will get
all
me
right
over the line.
We'll look forward to that. That's going to be a great one on Sunday night. Thanks to Fabiano. And by the way, I mentioned again, track down his Game of Thrones preview on Twitter, Facebook, social media, all over the place. And more importantly, for his nominal job, the NFL fantasy kit is now out there. NFL.
Yep, the draft kit's out there.
Everybody weighing in on that. Our pals Gelhar, Grant, Rank, and so who else?
Oh, we got Harman, Franchise.
Franchise. Yeah, so you've heard all
they're
the
all
voices
out there
here on this show. And now you've heard Michael Fabiano's great stuff from him. Good stuff, Handsome Hank. A curse, a pox on your on you for all your cheating ways. I don't know how you convince Kent Brown. My name's on the show, you understand. Not Handsome Hanks. Why you side with him, Kent?
Not yet, Dave.
Thanks to AJ. And, you know, by the way, a recurring theme. You can play that music all you want. Doesn't mean I'm done talking. But in this case, I am done talking. We'll see you on the other side of the weekend enjoying Game of Thrones. Thanks, everybody behind the glass. And you. Thin slice of heaven.